Amen. I'd say things look pretty bad to Noah when he was in that ark and water was beating on the sides of it and the storm clouds were on it, but I think there was only one windy in that ark, wasn't there?
Yeah.
It couldn't look but one way. Quit looking around. Quit looking around. Yeah, you look around, you get discouraged. You look inside yourself and you get depressed. You look up. Look up. I've told people all my life, well, ever since I started reading the Bible, since I got in the ark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since I got in the ark, I tell people all the time, I say, you're way too short-sighted.
Yeah.
I'm still looking for that coronation day.
Yes, amen.
Heaven's cords will ring with praise. Amen. But anyhow, good to be in the house of God tonight. Thank you folks for coming out. Thank you folks for watching online. If you're watching and you're sick, I pray that you get feeling better real soon. We miss you. We miss you. And I knew Tom wasn't here Sunday because my Sunday school envelope wasn't in the right place. It was where I could find it. That's where I looked for it. But it wasn't where Tom puts it. You just didn't do it right, preacher. You just didn't do it right. Anyhow, I'm glad I'm saved. How about you? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. And all that song, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter it grows. Hey, back when I was young and healthy and strong, I could do everything by myself. I didn't depend on God very much. It's just flat the way it is. It's just the truth. I was sinning every day, still do, but I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what I ought to be either. But I want to tell you what. Now, the Bible is true. The flesh is weak. The spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. We need to realize, the sooner we realize that our flesh is weak, and in this flesh we can do nothing, we can do no good thing, we won't get a whole lot done, I don't think.
Right.
Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 17, we could go back and read Zechariah, and hey, not by might or our power, but by my spirit. We could go to 1 Corinthians where we were at last week and let you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This evening we want to look at this. It says, wherefore be ye not unwise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. So if we don't know what the will of the Lord is, we're unwise. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Did you know there's two commands in that verse? The first one we get down pretty good, most Christians, I hope. Be not drunk with wine. But we don't get the second one down very good. I think it's a command, isn't it? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And we'll kind of pick up where we left off last week. We were looking at the personality. Hey, the Holy Spirit of God's not an it. It's a He. He lives in me. The song Garth sings, used to sing, He lives in me. He lives in me. He lives in me. You got to realize that everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit of God goes with you. You throw a custom fit, He's listening. You look at something trashy, He's watching. You read something you ought not, He's reading with you. And so we got to know Him a little better last week. Of course, we found out that to be a personality, you don't need a body, because I can't tell nothing about you just looking at you.
Right.
But once I find a talk to you and I get a sense of where your heart's at, And it don't take long to figure out where somebody's heart's at.
Right.
And where your mind's at. And where your will's at. And so we want to look now. We talked about his personality last week. Well, let's talk about something else. The Spirit's mistreatment proves his personality. Let's pray before we start. I need the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we sure do love you. Thank you for your word. Oh, dear God, we thank you for a good word of God, a perfect word of God, a pure word of God. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit of God, the author of the book, to teach us from the book. Oh, and how we love you this evening. How we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be an encouragement, to be a help. Pray that we would understand that we need the Spirit of God in our lives every day in order to do anything for you. Lord, we thank you and praise you. Help me, Lord, this evening. In your name we pray, and amen. The Spirit's mistreatment proves his personality. You say, how do we mistreat the Spirit? Well, he can be grieved. We grieve the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30. There's another command there. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. In Isaiah chapter 63, I thought that was an odd place to find this, but here it is, Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 10. The Bible says, but they rebelled, talking about Israel, and vexed the Holy Spirit, and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. I don't want to be like that.
Right.
That's Isaiah 63:10, in case you want to mark that in your Bible. It says there, but they rebelled. And I think there's been a time when we've just been a rebel and just said, God, I don't like what you want me to do. I'm going to do my thing. It says, they vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy and he fought against them. Hey, listen, life's hard enough.
That is right.
Without God being against us. Amen. But he can be grieved. The Holy Spirit of God can be blasphemed. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 31, we find there where it talks about blaspheme of the Holy Ghost. In Matthew 12 and verse number 31, it says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. You say, how can I blaspheme the Holy Ghost? Just don't listen to him. He's talking to you and you say it's not true. I mean, he convicts you of your sin and you say, I don't want to hear it. I mean, don't be blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe there's only one sin that will send a man to hell.
Right.
Only one.
Yeah.
Only one. It's not murder. It's not rape. It's not any of those things. It's not being an alcoholic, a drug addict. None of those things will send a man to hell. The only thing that will send a man to hell is to reject Christ as your Savior. And who's the one who comes and convicts your heart that Jesus Christ is the Savior, but the Holy Ghost of God? And if you turn the Holy Ghost away and say, I won't believe that message, you're in danger.
Right. Yes, sir.
You're in danger.
Yes, sir.
Now, I won't say where the deadline is. It's not my job.
No.
I mean, we'll try until they go into eternity to get somebody saved. But listen, it might be your last chance. Not only that, did you know the Holy Spirit can be insulted? He can be insulted. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I know a good preacher down about Pipes Tim Way, who says that this insulting the Holy Spirit goes back to verse 25, where it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. But in verse number 29, Hebrews 10:29, it says, of how much sore punishment suppose ye Shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despot unto the Spirit of grace? I had to look up that word despot. And it means extreme malice, violent hatred, malice, irritated or enraged, angry, hatred. And what kind of punishment? How much sore punishment? It means somebody who would be angry at the Holy Ghost or hold him in contempt.
Yeah.
Wow. You say a Christian never would do that. I don't know. I'm just telling you. You can say the Holy Spirit is a person because he can be mistreated. You can't mistreat his influence or a force, but you can mistreat Brother Rick or the Holy Ghost of God because he's as real as Brother Rick Childers.
That is right.
And he dwells inside this temple. He can also be lied to in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. We all know the story well where Ananias and Sapphira promised they were going to sell some land and they promised to give the money to the church. And they sold the land, which was fine. And they didn't have to give any money to the church, but they promised God, the Holy Ghost of God, that we're going to give this money to the church, but then they didn't. They give half and let everybody think. But God knew, the Holy Ghost of God knew that they lied.
Right.
And you know what happened to them, don't you?
Yeah.
Thank God for grace.
Yes, sir.
Because if every person that's ever lied to the Holy Ghost of God was struck dead, this place would be empty.
Right.
It really would. It's not a light thing to mistreat God who's living inside of us.
Yeah, that's right.
I ever promise God something and hold back on the promise? If the Spirit was an influence or a force, then we need not worry about it.
Right.
Just need not worry about it. How we treat him, but believing him to be a person, especially a person that is with us at all times, let us fear. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
Let us fear to intentionally disobey the Holy Ghost of God. You know, when the Holy Ghost, somebody comes, you meet somebody and the Holy Ghost says, you ought to talk to them about the Lord, you don't.
Yes, think about that.
I'm guilty of that.
Yes.
Or when he says, you shouldn't go there. My boss last year at the end of the season, they always have a party for everybody. And down at the saloon, the Red Dog Saloon, family friendly.
Yeah.
That's what they say. That's what they tell everybody. And I said, I'm sorry, Rick. I can't go down there. He said, well, it's all right. He said, ain't nobody going to think nothing. I said, I'm not worried about you and all that. I said, I don't think the Lord would be pleased with that. I'm just not going to do it. Okay? I said, if you'll go down there and shut down the bar for a while and turn off the music and let me preach them and then give them the gospel, I said, I'll go down. But I'm afraid your business would go down.
Yeah.
I was at work one time, worked on a strip job, and they always like to run these tip boards, you know, sell chances to win. And they had a 30-06. And a case and a box of shells. I mean, a sling and a scope. It was a decked out thing, man. I'd like to have that gun. Every night I'd go over and look at that gun. And guys would be, they wouldn't buy any chances till I left. The guy told me, said, you need to go over yonder somewhere.
Yeah.
But the guy that won the thing, I said, what do you take for that gun? He sold it to me and I paid him for it.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not buying a chance on that thing. No.
Absolutely not.
No. That's gambling, ain't it?
Yes, it is.
Anyway, you say, somebody's watching me.
Yes, amen.
You know, sure as I went in that Red Dog Saloon, one of y'all would be there. Look, hey, listen, if I went to the deep, dark woods in Montana somewhere and walked into a bar, there'd be somebody, some of y'all would see me, or somebody would take a stupid picture of it on the cell phone, and it'd be on the internet all over the world. But listen to me. Listen to me. There's a Holy Ghost of God who sees us no matter where we're at. Anyway. Now listen, I'm not perfect. I'm not saying that at all. But there are some things I just know are not right.
You don't have to pray about it.
Anyway, let me go on. The Spirit's actions could only be performed by a person. He can search.
Yes, amen.
He can search. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, "But God hath revealed him unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things."
Yes.
Yea, the deep things of God. Now, I know in the context what it's talking about, but when it says the Spirit searches all things, I think he can search the things of God. He can search the things of Christ. He can search the things of Scripture. He can search my heart. He can search your heart. He can search us out. By the way, he found me. I'm just an old country boy, grew up under a laurel bush over in Ramsey, West Virginia, and he sought me out. I wasn't looking for him. He come hunting for me. He come hunting for me. And I'll tell you one better than that. After I was saved for a while, and hanging out up on the had a camper sitting up there at Summit Lake, and I rolled down to North Fork of Cherry River one Sunday morning, and I was down in there hiding under them laurel bushes, and I was catching them trout. Say amen, John. Yeah, I was catching them trout. And I just about had my limit. And somebody spoke from heaven and said, "What are you doing here?" You can fish on Sunday if you want to. I don't. Whatever. I'm not preaching against fishing. But I'll tell you what I did. I threw my pole over under the laurel bush and I got on my face before God. And I got out of there and went up the hill and hooked to that camper. And I pulled her for home. And I've never been... I still went fishing. I still went camping. I still went fishing. But come Saturday evening, I hooked to her and went home.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I'm not against all that, and it was somebody was talking to me.
Yeah,
somebody found me. Somebody found me up in there, about the Pocahontas County line, down under a laurel bush, fishing, having a good time. I was having a ball, and then somebody says, "What are you doing?" Well, the game warden done found me.
Yeah, big game.
Yeah, big game warden done found me. But anyway, he can search. He can search, and he's a good looker, buddy. I've searched for things for days and days and days and days. I lost a pocket knife today, and I'll have to go see if I can find that thing. I'm like preacher. I was feeling. I said, "Man, I'm naked now. I don't have my pocket knife." But anyway, he can speak. Has he ever spoke to you? He did to me up there and many other times. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Go over there. The Bible says there, "Behold, he cometh with clouds." That's verse chapter 1. I got to get chapter 2. He that hath an ear. By the way, I keep running into this. I'm working on a message about hearing. And there's a lot the Bible has to say about listening and hearing.
Yeah, that's true.
But he says here in verse 7, chapter 2 of Revelation, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Seven times.
Yeah.
Seven times he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Hey, sometimes he comes to us as individuals and says, "Hey, you're not listening to me. He that hath an ear, let him hear."
Yeah.
I'm afraid we come to church a lot of times and the man of God will open the Bible, open the Word of God, and preach to us the Word of God, and we like that old fella, like old Jerry Clower's friend, one of them lead bedders, you know, didn't want to hear it, and he said, he stuck his fingers in his ear, said, "I ain't going to listen." I ain't never seen anybody in church actually stick their fingers in their ears, but they might.
Yeah,
you have. hey, listen. Hey, he can speak. He can speak. Over in the book of James, it tells us to be swift to hear. Swift to hear. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. I can't remember all the verse, but I know it's just be swift to hear. It's in James. Not only that, this one's about to get to me. The Holy Spirit can cry. He can cry. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 4. Where's Galatians at? It's in here somewhere. In verse 6, it says, "And because your sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Now, I know the context here. Give me a little latitude. There's no language like a cry.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing speaks like somebody crying. Somebody's heart's broken, they cry.
Yeah.
I wonder how many tears the Holy Spirit shed over my sinful ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder how many times I've disappointed Him,
yes,
broken His heart, and misused Him, and abused Him, and said went to places that I shouldn't have taken Him, and he's crying over, he's saying, "Why don't you listen to me? Why don't you listen?" Like a parent crying over a wayward child. There's nothing like a mother, tears, crying over their children who will not obey or who will. In an Old Testament, if you wouldn't obey your father and mother, they stone you to death. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. But he can cry. Not only that, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, we find out he can pray. Hey, do you know we got a prayer partner? My. We got a prayer partner. Hey, I don't doubt but what everybody in this room has been to the place where they just kneel to pray and there's just nothing comes out. I mean, you're so burdened down, you're so full, and you just at your wit's end, and it's your far as you can go, and you think nobody cares, but I want to tell you there's one that care. Hey, it says in verse 26, it says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." And He knows better than any, we have infirmities. Oh, when I can't, He can. When I can't get a hold of heaven, He can.
Amen.
Hey, I sometimes I just go on my face and say, "Lord, my daughter's down there in Tennessee. She's got six ornery young'uns. They're some kin to their grandpa. God, please help her.
Yeah.
Please help her. They're raising them sinful kids." You think yours is perfect. You're crazy. You're crazy.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, let me go on. He can pray. Oh, nobody pray. You reckon? That's a good Bible word. I think I read that here in Romans chapter 8 somewhere. But anyway, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. A lot of times we get down and we start talking, and the Holy Spirit's saying, no, that's not what you need. That's not what you... God, let me translate this for you. Anyway, and it says what we should pray for us as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes I think the best prayers we pray is the ones that we don't, when we kneel down and we can't even open our mouth. We can't put our 2 cents in it. We can't mess it up. But God knows. He hears our cry. He hears our groanings. He hears our prayer. How many times in the Bible do we hear that God hears the prayers of His children? God hears the groanings down in Egypt. And God heard the cry of the little the handmaid out in the desert. And God hears. And He hears. And I would wager that if the Holy Spirit does the praying, He's praying right. And God is listening, and we'll get what we need. Not only that, the Holy Spirit can testify. John chapter 15. We'll go back there. We've read these verses many times, but we'll read them again. John chapter 15, verse 26 and 27. The Bible says, and when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. Hey, the Holy Spirit's giving testimony. Guess who He's testifying about? I just thought of something. Maybe the Bible's telling us what a real testimony is.
Yeah, amen.
It's not about how the dog bit me and I survived, or how you've heard all the stories in church. I mean, I heard one man stand up, and I think he grew everything in his garden from... anyway, if I called his name, y'all know him, so I ain't going to say it. But listen, that's not a testimony. You stand up and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hey, let me tell you what God did for me today. Brag on the Lord. Chapter 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, He, the Spirit of truth, is come. He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He shall show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and show it unto you. Let's read Nehemiah chapter 9. You know, there's a lot of good verses in this book, and some of them are not where you would expect to see them. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 20. The Bible says, Thou gavest also Thy good Spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not Thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Hey, the Holy Spirit of God testifies. And he testifies about the Word of God, and He testifies about the Lord Jesus Christ. You say what? You saying He testifies about the Word or about Jesus? Yes.
Yeah.
You want to know about Jesus? Holy Spirit will teach you about Jesus from this book. By the way, you won't learn much from the Holy Spirit apart from this book. Matter of fact, I'll tell you how much you'll learn from the Holy Spirit apart from this book. That much. This is the textbook. He's the author. He's the teacher. And if you want to know how to walk and how to talk and how to live and how to act and how to do anything properly, let Him teach you from this book. And if you don't believe me, you need to get in these FBI classes and let John Yates teach you some stuff that I don't know nothing.
Yeah, blowed my mind.
I don't know nothing. But I do know some things. Not only can the Holy Spirit do all these things, but He can lead. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. I started Once. Yeah, let me go. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you being led by the Spirit?
Yes.
Does that mean if we're not being led by the Spirit, we're not the Son of God? A Son of God?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, he leads us. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. By His own hand, He leadeth me. Hey, listen. I'm no singer, but I know a lot of songs.
Yeah.
I can sing on a tractor out in the middle of the field.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care if a neighbor's here or not. Anyway. Hey, not only can he lead, but he can command. He can command. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. It said, now when they'd gone throughout Phrygia and region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. The Spirit said, don't go.
Right.
The Spirit said, don't go. He's told me a lot of times, don't go.
Right.
Don't go with them.
Yeah.
Don't talk that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't do that thing. Has he ever told you no?
Yes,
he can command. He can command. Who are we? Who are we to disobey the Holy Spirit of God?
Right.
Now, I think we've got the only thing I can figure is a lot of us have too small of a God. And we think he's a pushover. I thought of a comparison, but I'll not go there because we won't get into politics. People get mad at me when I talk stuff, so I don't do that. It'll not help us. I'll just say that. And listen, God's not a pushover. He says what he means. He means what he says. The Bible's not hard to understand. And the Holy Spirit of God is God with us. And we need to learn to obey him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I've got another message here, preacher, but I don't want to start it now. I'll do it next week if it's all right.
Yes, sir.
And we'll finish. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we surely love you. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, help us. Help us to be mindful, ever mindful, that you dwell in our hearts, that you dwell with us. We need to listen. We need to follow. We need to do and not do as you would have us to do. God, like Brother Butch would say, make us more like Jesus. Make us more like Jesus, we pray. In his precious name we ask it all. And amen.